Just give me a second. I got things going on.
You have to prepare to use the washroom? Is that what's going on? You're mentally psyching yourself up?
Welcome to episode 55 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Lee.
I am Joshua Caleb, subbing in for Bailey today. And despite popular belief, me and Jason Lamb are not the same person.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I am confused.
Beyond belief.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I am the same person.
That you've always been.
Always.
So that's all you got from Bailey was just that little bit?
What do you mean, got? I didn't get anything from Bailey.
Oh. Did you piece that together from all of the recordings? Because that's kind of creepy, Josh.
No, I like it.
What are you talking about?
That's creepy.
No, that's dedication.
Is that what it is?
That's all what right. It is, right there.
That's right. Dedication. It's not a serial killer. It's just dedication.
Yeah. That's the difference.
There's a big difference.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's very gray, but there's a difference.
There's a difference, none the same. Excellent.
So, I guess we'll start. What old video games have you guys been playing?
Go ahead, Josh.
I've been playing a bit of a game that I am bringing to the showdown, so I guess you could say I'm pulling a Bailey.
I was just going to say.
I also played a bit of Ernest Weathers.
Ernest Evans?
Hurst Hevers.
Ernest Blevins?
Oh my god. Yeah, and what'd you think?
It's bad.
Oh, it's not that bad.
It looks bad.
Oh.
It looks really bad.
What do you mean it looks bad? Like, compared to what?
The animations are so hilarious. Just the way he flails and you grab onto things and his arms are going like this. And
right.
It feels like you're controlling a marionette. That's how it animates.
I can agree with that. Yeah, that's about right. I don't see what's wrong with that, though.
It has pre-ragdoll physics, if that's possible.
Marionette physics, the preceded ragdoll physics.
Well, the sprites were all pieced together. It wasn't just one big sprite that you'd find in other games with different frames. Like, each body part had its own sprite.
Yeah.
So it was kind of revolutionary.
Oh, I'm going to say, that's very impressive for the when the game launched.
But
looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not as smooth as it should be. I mean, they could have did better. They could have did much better.
Though so. I couldn't find the European Sega CD release, I believe, of the game. I only found the Genesis version.
There's not much difference between the two. The music's a little better, but that's about it. Like many of the Sega CD games. So, the hell is that?
What?
Josh, you screwing around.
What is what?
I hear melodies playing.
Is somebody playing a Flash game?
What? Hold on. Galaga.
What?
Did it really pick that up?
That's what I knew. I recognized that. You're playing one of my favorite arcade games.
Wow.
Galaga? Yes, I was playing some Galaga.
Galaga, Metro Cross, and Off the Wall are my favorite arcade games.
Nice. HTML5?
Well, yeah. Come on. I found it on the internet. It has to be HTML5.
Does it?
Yeah, so I've been playing that, and I've played some Space Invaders in HTML5.
Wow.
It's been a great week.
Oh, man.
However, I'm going to suggest a game to people. It's not a retro game. But if you're a fan of the original Aliens vs. Predator game that was released in 1999, you should check out Natural Selection 2.
Oh, yeah, I've seen trailers for that. It looks really good.
Yeah, it's on Steam. It's pretty cheap. It is multiplayer only, but
that's
it's a lot of fun.
That big dinosaur game I keep seeing advertisements for.
Kind of. There's like a big dinosaur alien you can be, but each... Yeah, it's basically just aliens versus marines, and aliens have different type of classes you can kind of mutate into, while the marines just have a bunch of guns. But it's a lot of fun. It really reminds me of Aliens versus Predator. So,
but how does this game work if everyone is an alien?
Everyone isn't. It's team-based.
Yeah, but who's going to be dumb enough to pick the marines?
See, I like the marines. You get to go in a giant mech.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and you have flamethrowers.
Can be a pirate.
I would be a marine. Yeah.
There you go.
The magic word was flamethrower. So yeah. Thank you.
What have you been playing, Eric?
I picked up Gremlins 2 for the NES. It's one of those games that's been on my list for quite a while and haven't been able to find it. I found it finally and I picked it up. Gremlins 2. It's obviously based off the popular movie. Gremlins 2, which I can't remember the last time I've even seen Gremlins 2 or Gremlins.
I don't even think I've seen Gremlins all the way through.
I don't think you're missing much, but so you play as Gizmo and you throw tomatoes as your main weapon of choice, and it's kind of a top-down platforming, a lot like Star Tropics if you've played those games. It's actually a lot of fun. Like, the story's pretty neat, the cutscenes are great. Beautiful art. The music's really good. It's a Konami game, so Konami can do no wrong. So
back then,
right? Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody does wrong nowadays. Nobody knows what they want to do. So if it's not Call of Duty or Madden, then it's not right. So welcome to modern gaming. Modern gaming.
Make way for DLC.
It's great. They can sell you a season pass.
Yeah, somebody explain that to me, because I keep reading that.
Season Pass. It's basically, they've got all this DLC planned, and it basically enables you to buy it in advance as a package deal.
Often before the actual game has come out.
Yeah. So let's say they're going to release 5 DLC packs. Instead of paying $4.99 for all of them, you might be able to get 5 of them for $15. It saves you money in the long run, but it gives the developer money up front.
So what if they never come out with those DLC packs?
See, they've run into the problem with that. Bioshock Infinite had a season pass, and they've been very slow with getting the DLC out.
They finally released the first DLC like a month or two ago, and announced the next 2 DLCs that were part of the season pass. But those still have not come out.
Yeah.
And you could pre-order the season pass, I believe, before the game came out.
Yeah, you could. It's like Call of Duty does it as well. You buy in advance, you're going to get all the DLC.
They also announced that new Batman game. You can pre-order the season pass for that as well.
Yeah.
But what if the DLC is, like, stupid?
But like, you're screwed? And you don't even know what it's going to be, so they literally could just release 5 different weapons.
Yeah, or like costume packs.
And charge you $20.
Yeah.
Like the Batman one, they've laid out, they've said, this is what all the DLC what it's going to be. Both like Borderlands 2 and Bioshock Infinite, they just said, we're going to have 4 DLC expansions. They're going to be awesome. Please buy it.
It's like a Kickstarter program. That's ridiculous. Yeah, why can't they just make a new game? Like, why? What is the big deal about DLC?
It's
cheap.
Yeah, it's cheap.
Because you can use the exact same game engine and the exact same resources from the main game and just write a bunch of new code and scenarios to use all that same stuff. So you can... Like the famous on-disc DLC, they'll have DLC done before the main game ships, so they'll just put it on the disc, but won't let you have it unless you pay them for it.
Yeah, a lot of fighting games do that.
Yeah, even though it's on the disc.
You have to download a code for $3.99 to unlock it.
Or hack your console.
Yeah. But there, you could argue that in the past, games used to come out with expansion packs.
Yeah.
So let's say, like, I remember with Red Alert 2, you could buy Red Alert 2 Yuri's Revenge and added a whole new campaign. You could think of the DLC season pass as almost you're buying that expansion pack, except it's now broken up into parts, so you get the content as soon as it's developed. Mind you, you could argue that, but I don't know if that's the truth.
Well, didn't expansion packs, like, they came out years after the game was released because there was still that big fan base, so they thought, well, if people are still playing it, let's just bring out new content because in the long run it's just going to get us more money. Yeah. Rather than do it before the game's release, like, you don't even know if your game's going to be a hit. Why would you make this?
Because it's... all companies now plan for each one of their games to become a franchise.
Pretty much.
And if it doesn't become a franchise, they fire the staff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Modern game marketing.
It just doesn't make any sense, man. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm still kind of perturbed about the whole releasing downloads for games, like patches and stuff. Because, like, back in the day, if your game was glitched beyond belief and nobody liked it, like, nobody bought it. Like, that was on you. Like, you didn't get a second chance to be able to download a patch for your, you know, your Super NES card.
But on the other hand, the poor consumer saps that bought all these games are now stuck with broken games.
Yeah.
That can't Mind be you, fixed.
Because I've been a PC gamer for so long, patches have, for the longest time, been the norm in PC gaming.
Oh, yeah.
Right, right.
So to me, it just seems like, okay, consoles are finally doing it, but it does lead to rushed development cycles.
Very rushed development cycles.
That's
it's
crazy.
Like it's like every Oblivion game that comes out now, and every Fallout game. That studio's notorious for bugs. You know it's going to have bugs, but they'll fix it as they go.
Because their engine is 100 years old, and they just keep tacking new things onto it. It's basically the Incredible Machine. That's
crazy, man. I couldn't imagine. Like, that would drive me insane. Like, I got the new Wii U, Wind Waker edition, and the second I plug it in, I have to download an update. And I'm like, it's brand new. Like, this individual console just came out today, and I have to update it.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't slap the new update disc in it and install the software before you slapped it in the box? Like, come on. That's ridiculous.
They had all of those consoles just sitting in a warehouse somewhere since no one's buying them. They just painted the gamepad and threw it all together. So it's probably the exact same console that was released at launch. It just has a new gamepad.
Yeah.
I'm all right with it.
Truthfully, how is the Wii U?
I tell you what, I'm liking it more than I thought I would. Having that second screen is like having two monitors on your computer. Like, you can have so many things up. Like, I'm playing Wind Waker right now just because it came with it. And being able to look at my gamepad and see my map and be able to move my items into, like, the certain assigned buttons so I can use them without having to hit pause and to go through menus and stuff. Like, I can do it on the fly. Like, it's really cool. It's a great idea. Like, I feel like I can get more done. The only thing was, well, at least with Wind Waker, that's kind of a pushback, is I can't write on the screen, so I can't write on the map. Like, if I find a spot that I need to come back to later, I can't draw on it and say, you know, really? I need bombs here, or, you know, I need...
That would be a cool
Phantom
feature.
Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks. On the DS, you could scribble on your map.
Yeah, which is what I was expecting, because it comes with a stylus and everything, so...
Yeah.
That's
weird.
Unless
that's
if weird I'm not doing it right, which is always possible.
See,
but...
that'll be in the DLC.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be done with the game before then.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem, though, right? You're usually done with the game. So long.
Well, I mean, if there's something to bring me back, I'm gonna play it. Like, if the game itself is fun enough for me to continue to play, then DLC content on top of that is just an added bonus for me. Yeah. I'm not gonna buy a game just because of the DLC that was released. You know, if the game's crap, it's crap. It doesn't matter how much DLC or how many times you patch it. If the stories are awful and the controls are bad, and there's no plot development, like, that's just a bad game. You can't fix that with a patch or DLC.
Oh, no.
Or games that release cut content as DLC. So you finish the game, and then they go, oh, by the way, there's all this stuff in the middle that we cut out. Here, now go play it again.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get the full game this time. I hate that.
Just make a new game, man.
Modern developers.
Doesn't make any sense.
They're the best.
Doesn't make any sense.
Not know what to do with themselves.
So yeah, Gremlins 2 is really good if you want to play Gremlins 2.
Yeah?
Sorry, continue.
That's all right. Here we go! Speaking of not knowing what to do with yourself, we've got a listener discussion email this week.
Do we?
Ooh, we do.
Pray tell, would this listener want us to be discussing?
This week, the question is from Adam. I'm going to mispronounce this. It's Adam Ezaguri, a.k.a. the Retro Critic, who is also a One More Castle columnist.
Yay!
His question is, hi guys, been a while since I contributed a discussion question, so here goes. If you could take any new movie release from this year and turn it into a retro game, which movie would you pick, and why? And what would this game be like? Anyway, thanks for all the podcast retro lols. Keep it up. The Retro Critic.
Lols?
Yeah. The lols.
The lols. The lols.
I could think of several modern games I'd like turned into retro games.
Has to be a movie.
Has to be a movie, Josh.
From this year.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Is that this year?
Yeah. Yeah, wasn't this year.
I don't know. It works for me.
No, it was
That'd be great.
November 1st, 2012. It's within the last calendar year.
Though I'm kind of cheating because it already was turned into an arcade game.
Yeah, somebody did it. That was pretty cool.
Disney turned it into a Flash arcade game.
Wow.
Problem is, it was not a direct representation of the arcade game in the movie.
Right.
There were several discrepancies that were kind of annoying.
Fun
game, though.
When Bailey and I were at the Midwest Gaming Classic this past year, some guy actually created the Fix-It Felix arcade 8-bit, legit, straight from the movie, and he built an arcade cabinet around it, and it actually worked.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, like that was awesome. There was a line out the door to play it, and he made like 4 cabinets, one he kept and one he's donating to Disney or Pixar or whoever, and the other two he was selling.
Disney's not going to like him selling those.
No.
I'm sure it's discreet. He's giving them one, so who cares? If I was going to turn a modern movie into an 8-bit game, I'd pick Evil Dead.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
An Evil Dead. Like, there's a crappy Evil Dead PlayStation 1 game, and this new remake was so, like, crazy, off the wall, just nuts. That'd be an awesome 8-bit game. Do like a side-scrolling shooter, you know, and then puzzle solving and stuff. That'd be awesome.
Nice.
Jason, you got work to do. Get on it.
All right, I'm on it.
Good.
Mod something.
Ugh, no.
I can't build it from scratch. I can only change something.
No, you can build it from scratch. I will show you the way.
I'll download Unity and start building something.
Yeah, or Game Maker. Come on, man.
Well, come on. You're not going to build it in assembly?
Ooh, assembly.
No.
The Code of Kings.
You could use QBasic.
I could. Jesus. I probably, for a movie released this year, I haven't seen it yet. I'm dying to see it. It's Pacific Rim. It's just the giant robots fighting giant monsters. I would love that as a retro game.
Would it be like a one-on-one fighter thing, like Ultraman?
Kind of, or you could even do it like a kind of a Rampage style, but maybe you're stopping the monsters, you're like hitting them off buildings and stuff.
Rampage versus, have both monsters duking it out on top of the buildings.
You do like a King of Monsters.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
That would be neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a good discussion question. Thanks, Retro Critic, or Adam Ezaguri, who I've probably butchered your name on.
He'll let you know.
Oh, he'll let us know.
Our fans are good for that. No, you did this wrong.
You did this wrong. You should never speak again, Jason.
Yeah. Hurts, doesn't it?
It does.
Hurts, donut.
How many hertz does that donut run?
It's what is it? Oh, that's gonna drive me insane. Hold on. 1.21 gigawatts. That's what I was trying to remember. Sorry.
What is that in hertz?
I don't know. Let's find out. So gigawatts to hertz. Gigawatts to hertz.
Is there an actual conversion for this?
I think so.
There better be.
Converter.
There's not. I will be very disappointed.
What's the abbreviation for gigawatts?
JGW?
I think it's just
J.
I think it's just GIGAWATT.
I thought there was. There's like. I'm sure there's an abbreviation for it. GW or something like that.
GWANT?
Or JW?
I don't know. I'm not finding it. Nuts.
Damn.
We'll just call it 2.
Alright. It's 2 hertz.
Call it 2.
Alright. I guess it's time for a musical break. Welcome back. That was Man Made Messiah by Fox Synergy. Yes, we got a music submission, so you can actually take a break from those Super Mario RPG remixes for at least a week. Now, on to our Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
Two weeks ago, for episode 53, the theme was Mohawk protagonists. And, with a late voting surge, guess who the winner is?
Jason and your multiple computers.
It is. It's me and my multiple computers.
Unbelievable.
A-Team won for the Atari 2600, beating out Killer Instinct Arcade and Killer Instinct Super Nintendo for a 24-13-3 split.
Wow.
He just rented a botnet.
Did your girlfriend vote? Is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah. I got her and all her friends to vote out her work.
Wow.
Yeah. 18.
We should all be we should all be so lucky. Nice. Well, congratulations, Jason Cheater.
I'm sorry. Anyway, this week our theme is a free-for-all. Basically how this works out, for anyone tuning in, we each pick a game, we have a minute to argue the merits of a game, and then we spend the rest of the episode basically defending our game against the others. Okay, tonight our order will be our special guest, Joshua Caleb, then Eric, and then myself. So Joshua, Are you ready?
I am.
Good. Let me cue up a minute on the watch, because I'm not.
Doing your job.
All right. Thanks. It's what I do. Okay.
All right. My pick for today is one of my favorite games, Earbleed, for the Dreamcast. This over-the-top, outrageously insane B-movie pop culture parody extravaganza, fourth-wall-breaking survival horror game is a unique experience unlike any other. The object is to make your way through a horror theme park and save your friends before they meet a grisly fate. But to do so, you'll have to avoid and deactivate numerous traps, collect hidden items and clues, and battle horrific monsters. There are multiple unique characters to play, and each level switches up the gameplay to keep you on your toes and the edge of your seat. There is even a super secret New Game Plus hidden ending that will leave your brain reeling and your jaw
15
slack.
Seconds.
Earbleed for the Dreamcast.
All right. What'd you say? I have to ask. Earbleed. Oh, Earbleed.
I'll bleed.
Right. I heard Airblade, which is an extreme sports game.
I thought you were gonna bring up porn or something.
No porn, unfortunately.
Which is an extremely odd Urban Dictionary sexual position. That's all we'll have to write down to use for later.
Nice.
Given the ending of this game, that's actually not too far off.
Oh god.
Okay,
are you ready?
Yeah.
You may begin.
All right, my pick for this week's free-for-all is the legendary side-scrolling platformer Rocket Knight Adventure, released on the Sega Genesis by Konami, by the same developer who designed Contra. You play as Sparkster, a possum knight who fights an army of robot pigs and various mechanical vehicles armed with a sword and a rocket jetpack. There's side-scrolling beat-em-up missions, there's vertical shoot-em-up missions, and a single-room boss fights that resemble much of Contra's days past. Rocket Knight Adventure.
All right.
Rocket Knight Adventure.
Rocket Knight.
Rocket Knight!
Rocket Knight!
Adventure.
All right, I guess I'll begin.
You don't have to.
Nah, I will.
I mean,
originally released in 1990 as part of the Microsoft Entertainment Pack 1, this game was later ported to Windows 3.1, Windows 95, Windows 98, 2000, NT, XP, Vista 7, but is not available on Windows 8 as a pre-install. It's Minesweeper, everyone's favorite flag-placing, mind-blowing-up game. By clicking a series of tiles, you have to reveal mines that can blow you up if you select the incorrect tile. The game is based on how fast you complete the level, and it is a cultural classic. That's Minesweeper, and this week's platform is for Windows 3.1. Minesweeper.
Wow.
This is disturbing.
Minesweeper for people who are really, really, really bored.
No, man. Minesweeper is... It is the brainchild of the world's greatest programmer, Robert Donner.
Who?
Yeah.
Exactly. Because he was overshadowed by his own creation.
Wow.
I was afraid there for a second you were going to bring Ski Free. And if you were going to bring Ski Free, I would not be able to argue against you.
Damn. You know what? I almost brought a whole entertainment pack, but there's so many games in there, I decided against it. So you'd call me a cheater.
So, okay. Minesweeper.
Minesweeper.
It's been around for ages.
Yeah.
Why the 3.1 version? Because according to the Book of Knowledge, the only change to Minesweeper was a completely new help file. Like, you need help playing Minesweeper. I mean, come on.
I see, you're trying to play Minesweeper.
Yeah.
Hello, Clicky. Oh, sorry, Clippy.
Clippy.
Now, I picked the Windows 3.1 version because it actually introduced a cheat code, which is not available in basically...
So you picked the later version editions that lets you not play the game.
Yes. By typing, I believe it's X, Y, Z, Z, or Z, Z, whatever your pronunciation is. You can basically then hold down shift, and when you hover over a tile, a pixel in the top right-hand corner will either be white or black, depending on what is underneath that tile, a mine or nothing. It is the Minesweeper for those of us who do not have the patience to play Minesweeper.
Is that really considered an Easter egg, though?
It's a cheat code.
Yeah.
But it isn't... For those that can't play Minesweeper, don't they just play Solitaire?
Well...
Or any other game in the world?
Yeah, I mean...
This is a retro gaming podcast. 90% of the games you bring to the podcast, Jason, are HTML5 games that are free to play online.
Whoa.
Right?
Whoa. You brought a rocket raccoon thing.
No, it's a possum.
Sonic the Hedgehog ripoff.
And he's a knight.
Yeah.
And he's got a sword and a jetpack. He might as well be Rocket Pants. Might as well be Rocket Pants.
Now, tell me, what... of course, it's for the Sega platform.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Sonic the Hedgehog. It was that weird time when, after Sonic the Hedgehog came out, when everyone had to have an animal mascot that was cool and edgy.
Yeah.
And he's blue.
That's still going on. Yeah, armor is blue. Haven't you ever seen a knight? Come on, man. That's just awful.
The only armor I've seen that's blue is on Mega Man, which is also another more popular platformer.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
So it's a lesser version of Sonic and Mega Man.
If you want to group Rocket, Knight, Adventure with those legends of gaming, absolutely.
Oh, God.
Absolutely.
I wasn't grouping it with them.
That's what it sounded like.
It was a lesser version of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I wouldn't say that Illbleed is a lesser version of Resident Evil. I would just say it's a crappy ripoff of Resident Evil.
There is no way you can compare Illbleed to Resident Evil because
Resident
Evil does not have living demon cakes from hell.
He's got you there.
Like birthday cakes?
Yes.
Demon birthday cakes?
I don't think anybody has that in their game. I don't think that's a good move for anybody.
Exactly.
Unless if it's a demon's birthday, well, then there has to be cake. Unless if the cake is a lie.
There's also a level where you play as a cowboy doll named Cork Inda, who has to travel to Toy Hell to save his lover Sexy Doll from the evil clutches of Zodik the Hellhog.
What?
So this isn't a kid's game, I'm guessing.
No.
I'm curious. So the main protagonist, the female,
Errico Christie.
Errico Christie.
Yes.
Okay. Does she have like brass knuckles on her hands or something like that?
No.
Okay. Because I'm watching a video, and every time she punches a demon, just blood squirts everywhere. Like she's taking a knife to him, but it looks like she's just punching him. I mean, that doesn't happen to me.
Sometimes she'll get a baseball bat, sometimes she'll get a machine gun. Other times you just slap him with your fist and blood explodes out of him. But you have to be careful because if they hit you, blood will also explode out of you.
So what's the thought process behind that? Now, I'm not trying to, you know, oh, your game's unrealistic. Yeah. I mean, my game has a possum in a knight suit with a jetpack. Okay, so if you want to go as far away of realistic as possible. But, I mean, what's the thought process behind that?
Behind the blood spurting out or the...
Yeah, just from punching somebody. Just blood squirting everywhere. That doesn't make any sense.
It fits the theme of the game. The game is over-the-top, crazy, psychopathic, insane.
It's Illbleed.
Yes.
The game's so bad, I will get sick and like, whoa, hold on. Let's not go that far, okay? Let's not cross those barriers again.
Hidden gems on the Dreamcast.
Such an overused word, gem.
Onyx.
Such an overused word. It's a trope.
Tropaz?
Tropaz.
Oh, the old Tropaz.
So, Jason, what happens when somebody wins Minesweeper?
A happy face smiles.
That's it? You don't save the princess or...
No, you make a little happy face happy. You complete its life. Because without you, it is not a happy face.
Is it a sad face?
You finish Illbleed if you get the good ending, you save all your friends and win $1 million.
Wow.
It's not really a lot of money nowadays, is it? $1 million?
No. I could use it. I would take $1 million.
Well, yeah, it's 2001, by the way, Josh. It's when the game was released.
Yes, 2001. My mistake. Also, if you get the super secret New Game Plus ending when you beat the game, you also get sexually harassed by your father.
What?
What?
The man who made this game, I don't think he was entirely sane.
Is this a game? Are you sure?
Yes.
Wow. So there's... somebody gets sexually assaulted by a father figure, and that's the good ending, just so you know.
That's the super secret New Game Plus good plus bad ending.
Yeah. That's like the best ending. Could you imagine if you were playing Super Mario Brothers and you finally save Princess Peach and she sexually harasses you? Would be awful. That would just be awful. Like, oh no, I didn't go through 8 worlds to save your ass for this. I mean, come on. What kind of ending is that? That doesn't make any sense. It can't be just that one guy. I mean, there was a big team that made that game. Everybody approved it. Sega approved it to put it on the Dreamcast.
The name of the developer was Crazy Games.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Saw that coming a mile away.
I mean, you know, there's all kinds of game developers and companies that have made bad decisions. But how could anybody say this was okay? Maybe they didn't think anybody would play it. So you would never even see the ending.
This game was designed in the same vein as a Sweary or Suda 51 game.
They drink a lot and do drugs. The best part of Crazy Games, I love how they are formerly known as Climax Graphics.
Which made a game called Blue Stinger.
Wow.
Oh, Blue Stinger, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's the same developer. And you know,
why does this all sound like really weird, illegal, like torture porn?
Yeah, like that's, yeah.
Illbleed, Blue Stinger, by Crazy Games. Where did you find this?
I found it on a Facebook group. Someone mentioned it. We were talking about how in the third birthday, when you take damage, your character's clothes start to shred off. And they mentioned that when you play the New Game Plus of Illbleed, if you don't save your friends after each level, your clothes start to shred off as well.
Why? Who Why thought not? That was a I good guess. Idea?
It's Illbleed.
This is... come on, man. Like...
I don't know.
None of it makes any sense. None of this game is... You know what this game's like? What was that game, Jason, that... Or was it Bailey? Where, like, each room was... some other puzzle, like one of the puzzles was like this kangaroo throwing bowling pins at you, or
what was the name of that? Bailey brought it.
I don't know, but it's sounds
it like something dreams.
That yeah. I would rather play that than this. Like this, just because I'd be thinking about Resident Evil the entire time, and it's just not that good.
Pretty well done and spooky. There's lots of traps that are. horrific and disturbing.
As if the rest of the game isn't horrific and disturbing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's just
you walk in a kitchen for this house and there's blood all over everything. You walk past the stove and a roast chicken jumps out and bites you.
This is like a psychopath's wet dream. Like, that's what that sounds like.
It does.
It's awesome.
Yes, that's the word for it. Awesome.
There isn't a moment in this game when your jaw won't be hanging open.
Really?
How are the controls?
Are there controls?
Well, I'm wondering if they're like tank controls, like Resident
Evil. No tank controls.
So it's not even good enough to have tank controls. Wow.
Tank controls are awful.
What? Tank controls are so awful that they made how many Resident Evil games based off tank controls? Come on.
Because they were too lazy to try and fix them.
Come on.
Tank controls are terrible.
Okay, so explain the controls in this and Ill Bleed.
You use the stick to move your character around. You can jump and look or investigate an item or a object. The main gameplay element is you have this horror monitor, which are these goggles that you put on that let you detect traps. And when you detect a trap, you can flag it, which deactivates it. But you only have a limited amount of juice for your horror monitor. So you have to use your 5-6 senses to detect whether something is a trap, a red herring, or a hidden item. So there's a lot of strategy and planning to go through each of the levels to get to take the least amount of damage and scare as possible, because you have to manage your heart rate, your bleeding, and your health.
And your clothes, right? Because you're losing your clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're playing the new game plus the way you're supposed to play it to get the true ending.
Gotcha. Is the girl even cute? Like, would I even want to see her without her clothes?
Well, you do at the end of the game.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
Well, I feel this game could have only come out on the Dreamcast. Just because they let anything go. Like, you'd never see this on a Nintendo console.
Oh, no. No. No.
Well, they had Eternal Darkness.
Well, it wasn't as messed up as this.
Yeah, that's nowhere near as messed up as this is, man.
Like, Eternal Darkness looks like, I don't know.
But Eternal Darkness is fun.
Yeah.
This is fun, too.
I'm sure it is, but Eternal Darkness looks like Pokemon compared to this.
Yeah. Jason, just so you know.
Very happy things.
I shared a link with you.
Oh.
In the chat.
Uh-oh.
It is a link to a YouTube page.
Yeah.
Where you can watch somebody beat Minesweeper in 38 seconds.
Like, are they playing on hard, though?
I don't know, man. It's Minesweeper. There is no hard mode.
There's hard. There's
Come
different
on.
Levels of
No, there's
stuff.
Not. It's Minesweeper.
Whoa! See, I don't see the link. You mean in chat, like in the actual podcast?
Yes, in the chat window. Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking in like the YouTube.
I don't know why you do that. That's not where
either.
I posted it.
Chat. There we go. Let's bring it up.
Yeah. 38 seconds.
Damn.
Done. Game's over.
Good.
Yeah. Good. It's probably a 3-year-old. It's Minesweeper, man. Come on.
Damn.
Ill Bleed has been compared to Cabin in the Woods for its meta horror. Because it breaks the fourth wall frequently as you go through the horror theme park.
But is it funny?
Yes, it's hilarious.
Ill Bleed is hilarious.
It's so bad, it's hilarious.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Because everything you've described so far, I want to say is hilarious. More like topics for my therapy in 10 years.
Right. Like, to that point where, no, there's no way somebody would do that in a game. Oh, wow, they did. Wow.
Eriko probably should see a therapist because her father subjected her to his horror experiments because her family was part of a traveling horror band.
A traveling horror band?
Caravan.
Caravan.
Oh, I heard band.
They had a little traveling house of horror that they would go and set up shop, and people would come to see the horror haunted house thingy.
See, I'm just stuck on band now, so I'm just going to assume her dad is Alice Cooper and or Marilyn Manson.
And we lost Jason.
And we're off the air.
Are we? I guess we'll just, oh no, he's back.
That was weird.
That's what you get for messing around.
Yeah, that's what I get for insulting Illbleed.
Yes, you don't insult Illbleed.
Yes, instead I insult Rocket Knight Adventures.
Yes, the...
Good luck.
The lame, crappy Sonic the Hedgehog Mega Man Contra ripoff.
Yeah.
This game has everything that every gamer would ever want. There's epic boss battles, there's side-scrolling platforming, there's beat-em-up, there's vertical shooters. Come on.
There's mechanical vehicles?
Yeah, all the you fight pigs. Are. Yeah.
Do you get to ride a vehicle?
No, you just destroy them with your awesome sword of coolness.
But are you really called Sparky?
Sparkster.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sparkster. He's not a dog, he's a possum.
Sparkster.
In a suit of armor.
A little Sparkster in a suit of armor.
Yeah, he's tiny. I mean, he's a possum. He can't be that big. You know.
It would be better if he was a kangaroo. Because a kangaroo actually has fighting prowess.
Possums don't?
A possum just hangs upside down.
You can do that in this game, too. It's pretty cool.
Have they made any more of these games?
Yeah, there was a... I think there was a sequel on the Super NES called Sparkster.
Oh, dear God.
Why is that so funny? It's his name. Come on. That's like laughing at Link, because his name's Link. He's got a jetpack. And charge it up and go flying through the air. You can jump off walls and stuff. Man, this game's awesome. It's got everything. Everything.
So awesome.
Yes, but it has everything. Does it do any of it well?
Yeah, oh yeah. Does it all well. I mean, come on. I mean, you said yourself it was a ripoff of Sonic, so that's awesome. So it's got the Sonic portion down. No, it doesn't want to be Sonic, but it takes those elements. That's how you make a good game, man. You go back, you look at your predecessors, see what they did right. Don't improve it, just copy it.
So you're admitting, right, you're admitting that your game is a blatant copy of better games.
Sonic's not a great game? Come on. I know, you love Sonic.
I do. You're saying that Rocket Knight Adventure is a copy of better games.
Absolutely.
So why didn't you bring those games?
Because this is a package full of better games. This is a single game without the necessity of going and picking a collection of great games. That all of those games are in one game now. And you got a kick-ass protagonist with a sword.
But that would be confusing if I'm constantly... That would be like playing... It would like be like having my Super Nintendo on shuffle.
What's wrong with that?
Where every time I beat a level, I'm switched to a different game.
Yeah, dude. Nintendo World Championship. Nintendo World Championship? Is that what it's called? That's exactly what that was. People love that game. That game goes for 10 grand, man. That's huge. Give me a game on shuffle. I'll buy it every time. It's crazy. I'll even play Illbleed if it was on shuffle.
Illbleed is on shuffle.
No, it's on repeat of awfulness.
No, every level twists the gameplay in a different way.
So I have to relearn how to play the game every stage? That doesn't sound fun. I'd rather play... I mean, you might as well play Minesweeper, since it's so simple. It never repeats. It's just the same boring game over and over again.
No. The mines are in different places. That's the genius of Minesweeper. You never know what you're going to get next.
The traps in Illbleed are also sometimes in different places.
You're going to get mines in Minesweeper, Jason.
Yeah.
That's but
where?
It doesn't matter. I don't care to find them. And I mean...
It's... Think of it this way. As Forrest Gump said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Sure, you're always going to get chocolate, but you don't know where and when or what time. And you're always going to get mines, but you don't know where or when or what time.
I don't like chocolate.
What I'm saying
either.
Is, this is the Forrest Gump of video games. Oh, God. It's an American classic.
So, okay,
We have a title. Minesweeper is Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The American classic.
Yeah. American classic.
So why isn't it on Windows 8 then? If it's such an American classic.
You have to download it from the App Store.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it is on.
They want to just. It is. They just want to force the App Store. It's just not pre-installed.
So you lied to me.
I don't lie. I said it was not pre-installed.
I don't appreciate you lying to me, Jason.
We have a lot to talk about this past year, then.
How much time you got? It's going to be a long conversation. Rocket Knight Adventure. There you go.
There we go. Should we wrap this up and do our final arguments for these games?
I suppose.
Or does anyone have any insight into other games they'd like to share?
I think we've beat your crappy games into the ground, so it's just.
All right, Josh, if you could start us off here.
You should vote for Illbleed because you will never have another experience quite like it. The gameplay, while slow to start and learn, is engaging. It's unique. The story is interesting, bizarre, twisted,
sick,
disturbed,
offensive.
It is basically a B movie horror parody game that will leave your mind numb.
Say that again.
The dialogue is absolutely hilarious. Illbleed for the Dreamcast.
All right. You should vote for Rocket Knight Adventure because it's the game that everybody wants. You have a kick-ass protagonist, a sword, a rocket jetpack, and all different kinds of levels and big boss battles. Rocket Knight Adventure.
Nice.
Yeah.
You should vote for Minesweeper because, as I said, it is an American classic. Minesweeper for Windows 3.1. You can do no wrong.
And you can do no right, man. That's just a Minesweeper.
So that's our week for the One More Podcastle. Just a reminder, everyone, we're part of the Retroids Podcast Network. You can find us there, as well as many other great podcasts. I'd like to give a shout-out to our One More Castle livestream viewers, Big Jonathan 91, P Squared, Captain Knucklehead, who just reported for duty. Thank you, sir. Do you guys have any shout-outs you'd like to give?
Really, Josh? I could do your shout-outs for you.
No. I will give a shout-out to @officialVGHC on Twitter, which is where I do a lot of my writing and podcasting. You can find all kinds of great content at @officialVGHC.
You can follow me on Twitter @EricHunter. My indie game review blog is I Am Eric M, where I review indie games for the console enthusiast. My latest review was Dead Pixels, which is kind of like Evil Dead. So I guess that idea is out the window. Jason?
You can follow me on Twitter @JasonLamb. I'd like to give a shout out to Eric Bailey, who's not here.
Oh.
Just because.
I'm all right with it.
Eh, well.
Would he have brought Illbleed?
No, he probably would have brought something worse. He probably would have bought Minesweeper. Whoa.
Minesweeper.
Oh, I should also mention for anyone following One More Castle that I also do the retro hate column on One More Castle, which is on temporary hiatus because I need to play more awful retro games so I can hate on them.
Well, you're playing Illbleed. I mean, you probably find quite a bit, man. You could probably write a book, teach a class at a university.
There's actually no Illbleed fanfiction because Illbleed is fanfiction. you can't come up with the stuff.
That's right. You cannot come up with this stuff.
Mr. Shinya Nishigaki, may he rest in peace. You cannot come up with that kind of stuff.
No, you can't.
Which is sad, because he teased the sequel at the end of the game.
Ah, damn.
Darn.
The arcade.
Guess we'll never know.
All right. That's our podcast for the week. That's episode 55. And remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president.
Hey!
I got it right!
You got it right!
Third time's the charm!